And I'm going to share a thought with you this morning. It's a special message in a very small phrase in John chapter 4, verse 6. Now, the Bible contains what appears to be just a passing word, just a small phrase that upon first glance seems to be only a small portion of something more important. And such a passing thought, yet with a profound message, is found here in John chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." Most would not have even noticed this particular verse. However, there is a very special message in this small phrase. Now, Jacob's well was there. Many of us have probably received more in life by inheritance than what we've ever worked for. That is our freedom. You know, there have been thousands of men and women that have died in order that they might ensure that America would be the home of the free and the brave. We also have a network of massive highways that crisscross America in order that we might be able to go to various places with somewhat of ease. We have beautiful parks that afford us the opportunity of recreation and beauty. And then we have the protection afforded us by our government and first responders. Well, it was the same way with the children of Israel. The Bible records the fact that they came in and they lived in houses they did not build. They gathered from fields that they had not planted. And they took fruit from trees that they had not grown. Therefore, the children of Israel became recipients of houses and fields and lands that they had not labored to receive. Now, Jacob's well, the Bible said, was there. When this story was written, Jacob's well had been there for some 1,700 years and now about 4,000 years. And it still supplies fresh water, cool water, and refreshment to all that come by. Now, in light of all the longevity of Jacob's well, I think there are some tremendous lessons here about if we're ever going to do something, do it right. Build strong, build solid, do it right. This well is still a tribute to Jacob. It still honors him. Well, the lessons that we want to derive from this. Number one, build upon that which endures. In other words, build what you do, build solid, and build it well. An illustration, it is possible to tell the character of a person by the kind of work that person does. A man told the story about his father that employed a particular man to change the oil and change the filter on his car, and he employed this same man for 3 straight years until he started having engine trouble. And he found out the man had not changed the oil or the filter in 3 years. So when he finally discovered the man's work, there was something that was there that told him about the man's character. And his character was obviously flawed. It was obviously bad. Now, if a Christian doesn't produce some souls and some work for the cause of Christ, then there is obviously something terribly wrong with their character. If there are no fruits of outward evidence coming from a Christian's life, then something is terribly wrong with their character. Now let me say that when a person gets saved, automatically their life changes. They used to live in sin, but now they've turned their life over to God. They have a new heart and a new nature that wants to do the things of God, and they go to church when they used to just couldn't stand church. And they live for God. They tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Their life has totally changed, and you see the fruits, which are the evidence, and it reveals their character. In recommending young Timothy to Philippi, the Apostle Paul said of him, and the proof of his ministry was that he said, he has served me well. He has served me well. Don't you want to have the kind of testimony that somebody like Paul would say, they are faithful, they have served me and the Lord well? Proof of character is not that we love to sing those great old songs of Zion, or that we are thrilled when we get to hear good preaching. There's a whole lot more to the Christian life than just coming and singing and listening to preaching and going home. The Bible teaches us that our works will be examined. Our works will therefore reveal our character. Now, the Lord does not come and examine character, but he examines fruit. He says in Matthew 7:16, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits ye shall know them. You can tell a person is a Christian by being around them for a little while. You listen to them talk. You see what's on their mind, what's important to them. Now, I may like sports. I may enjoy a good ball game. I'm also a Cardinal fan, you know. I like it all. But I'm telling you, I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than I love any game, any team. And I love to serve him more than anything else, because I know that he's going to judge me by my fruits. And I want to know that I've been faithful to produce good fruits for the cause of Christ. Well, notice Jacob. His character was indicated by his work. To find lazy work is to find a lazy person. Now, that's profound, I know. But to find diligent work is to find a diligent person. Now, Jacob had to build that well, and keep in mind it was 90 feet deep. It was 8 feet around in diameter. And he didn't have tools like we have today where they could drill through it, because it was almost solid rock. And he could have thought to himself, well, I'll take a shortcut. I won't hew out those stones and shape them and make them fit just exactly. But he didn't do that. And you know, he could have been like the tribesmen before Jacob. And they didn't even care to build a well at all. The Bedouins, they consumed the fowl, the flesh, and the fish. And they said everybody had an empty dish. You can laugh about that later. But they brought their cattle in, and they came and they grazed on the fields, And they ate the grass all the way down to the roots. They drank all the water in the ponds until they were absolutely dry. And the Bedouins then picked up their goods after their cattle had eaten everything and drank all the water. And they left the land when they left without water or without grass. Now the Bedouins are still doing that today. They are people who come in, they take what they want, and then they leave. Now Jacob could have done that. He could have come in and said, well, I'll just do like they've always done. I'll just come and consume all that I want, take what I want, and then I'll leave. But you know, it's important what we leave behind. For the Bible says that our works do follow after us. I want to leave something behind that testifies that I love the Lord, something that will point others to the cause of Christ, that they might know him in the free pardon of sin. Now, you're only going to be here 60, 70, 80, 90, or maybe 100 years by reason of strength, but you're going to leave. You're going to leave. You know, and I know a lot of times we think, well, I feel pretty good, you know, and everything's going well, that I'm going to be here forever. You're not. Don't deceive yourself. You're just passing through. It's appointed unto a man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Well, to be a faithful steward of what God has given us is important. It is doubtful that every time Jacob kind of hewed out one of those stones, that he didn't kind of have the same attitude that we do. You know, he was like-minded, just like you and I, and he could have said, well, I'll take some shortcuts. But you know, if you're going to do something for God, don't take shortcuts. Do it right the first time, and God will bless your work and your efforts. I know that he wanted to do a good job, but little did he know that 1,700 years later that the Messiah himself would come, and he would sit there on the curb of that well, and he would drink water from the well that he had dug. What a blessing. Man, well, this particular man related that when he was raising his 9 children, they had the typical childhood diseases as they were growing up. And he said they grew up into teenage years and then they started rebelling. One of them was playing in a nightclub. And the man didn't think that any of his children was going to amount to anything. He felt that he had made all kinds of mistakes. But now 6 of his boys are preachers. One is a leading layman in his church, and the girls married good Christian men. He was asked, how did you do it? How did you do everything so right? He said, well, I just didn't realize I was doing many things right, but when asked what he had done, he said, when they disobeyed, I beat the daylights out of them. And then he said, when we both stopped crying, I read the Bible to them. You know, God has a formula, doesn't he? We're taking care of everything. You know, you can go to Dr. Spock and some of those psychologists, and they'll tell you, don't spank a child. You'll warp their personality. But the Bible said, spare the rod, spoil the child. And I'm telling you, you always are on good ground when you do what the Bible says. Charles Evans Hughes was the first president of the Northern Baptist Association, which is now American Baptist. And he was asked, as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, about his success. And he said a Sunday school teacher, 80 years of age, was his reason for success. And he was giving his testimony before a large congregation, and he summons that 80-year-old Sunday school teacher to the podium. Well, he kind of trembled as he walked up to the podium, and he stood there beside Charles Evan Hughes, and he was asked the question about his secret of success, and he said this, "I just told the students when I taught them, they had to listen. And I never taught anything but the Word of God." I'm going to tell you, that's a good formula. Amen. Those who teach Sunday school classes need to understand that they are to build solid. A teacher needs to be working well. For no one knows whose ears are hearing what is said. No one knows whose eyes are watching what you're doing. I'm going to tell you, you learn a whole lot by listening and by observation. Looking out and seeing the lives of others to see if you're real and genuine. I don't want folks to say, well, he talked one way and lived another. I want them to know that I loved the Lord and I lived what I said that I believed. Reminds me of the preacher who was reminiscing. As he looked into the crib, he saw his little baby daughter. And he began to think just how she would grow up one day, and she'd take her little lunch pail and she'd go off to school. He thought of how that she would graduate from high school and then they'd take her to college and they'd let her out. And as he was daydreaming about things, he became upset because he remembered that he met his own wife as a freshman in college. He began to think about that little baby in the crib who would one day go off to college. He realized that she'd find somebody to marry. And he said, you know, I started thinking as I looked into that baby's eyes about her innocence. We were trying to raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But I got to wondering, where is the boy that she's going to marry someday when she goes off to college? What do his parents do? How do his parents feel about God? How have his parents responded to Christ? How are his parents loving the Lord, and how are they committing themselves to Christ? That man said he wanted to go out and win everybody to Christ that he possibly could. He wanted to love every family that he could, to sacrifice, to do everything that he could in order that he might win as many as he could, to where that the family that raised the boy that was going to marry his daughter would be a Christian and they would be like-minded in serving the Lord. It reminds me that the job is not over. It's not done. We must not stop witnessing. We must not stop tithing, serving, praying, loving, doing all that we do, because the work is not over until the Lord says it's enough. I want to be faithful till he comes. I want to walk that last step of the way, being faithful, doing what he says to occupy till he comes. Never cease to be a blessing. To be a solid means that we must never cease to be a blessing. Note how the well reflected the fact that for 1,700 years it was a blessing. And now, for almost 4,000 years, The Bible says in Revelation 14:13, and their works do follow after them. Kind of frightening, isn't it? To realize that what we do or what we don't do will follow after us after we're gone. So it's important for us, as we're only going through this life one time, to do well what we do. Now I can see Jacob as he came down to the end of life's journey. And he remembered 97 years before at Bethel. Oh, I'm sure he thought about that well, but that wasn't the important thing. Because at Bethel, he made a commitment of his life to the Lord. It was at Bethel that he recommitted himself to God and said, Lord, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And now, 97 years after, he had been faithful. And that well was just one of the testimonies of the fact that he had been faithful to God. And he held on to the end, and he led his family in the paths of righteousness. Brethren, there'll be a time when we'll be looking up from that deathbed. I mean, if God doesn't come back and take us out, then we're going to be there. It's just a matter of when, not if. It's appointed. And God already has the time listed on his calendar when we're going to leave. And his calendar is in his own mind because he's omniscient. I'm here to tell you, you're just passing through one time. And if you haven't looked in the mirror lately, you're not as young as you used to be. You know? I mean, you can see some wrinkles up there. And I think as Ronald said, that the wind was blowing and it's blowing his hair. We don't have as much hair as we used to have. But you know, I don't care. God has blessed when he reached down when I was 14 years of age and he picked me up out of sin. I never have backslidden. I've never wanted to go back. I never wanted to go back to the world of sin. I love the Lord, and I love him more today than I've ever loved him. And I just believe that the pathway gets sweeter as the days go by because we're walking hand in hand with the one who died for us because he loved us so much. You wonder, does somebody love me? Yes, somebody loves you. Jesus loves you. Will you bow with me for prayer?